Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett. I am going to be a little bit salty and aggressive towards Steve today. It was our first round of Home League Finals and he's beaten me 2 weeks in a row, so not very happy about that. But before we get into it, boys, got a strample. I've got to strample my mum.
Jesus. Whoa.
Big strample here. My wife, she's gone up to see the family this week, and they run like a small hobby farm, lots of horses and that, and one of the family horses they've had in the family for 20-odd years passed away yesterday, and the wife's put up a little tribute to the horse, saying, rest in peace, la-di-da-di-da, and my mum's put the comment, what happened? Basically, the horse has died. That's what's happened. So, if you read the actual post, you will find out what's happened. So, a bit of a strample there to my mum. But this guy, I don't know how he's going to be reacting. I mean, he's beaten me in the home league, but his boy Sharon Goetz quite possibly gone down with the ACL. So, welcome to you, Stevie Fizz.
Yeah, let's bring up the sad music. John, I've taken care of you in a home league in the final. The Dodgers are in first place. Andrew Luck is back throwing passes again. But friends and comrades, the light has gone out of our lives and there is darkness everywhere. I do not know what to tell you and how to say it. Our beloved leader, Sharon Goetz, as we called him, the father of the nation, is no more. Perhaps I am wrong to say that. Nevertheless, we will not see him again as we have seen him for these many years. We will not run to him for advice and seek solace from high. And that is a terrible blow. Not to me only, but to millions and millions in this country. I'm sorry, this is Mahatma Gandhi's eulogy. It's crushing. I don't think there was a dry eye in the house when the Sharon Goetz went down. And I cried a little bit. I got to be honest. I cried a little bit because it's brutal. And that's... Unfortunately, that's life.
Well, I don't think it just hit the fantasy football players. It transcended across football. I mean, we don't like seeing players get injured, but when a bloke goes down for his third ACL at 22 years of age, mind you, it's just crushing for the bloke. And we do hope he gets back to play some good football. I mean, we've seen Dan Menzel. He's had four. He's playing some pretty good footy now. Nick Natmino's gone down. So we do hope he gets back on the park because he was having an absolute ripper year this year.
He was the glue of the Collingwood backline. But just, you know, when someone goes through tough times, we'd never like to see anyone go down. Even in our matchup this week, Jono Seisman went down. You didn't say boo. Swallow went down for you. Didn't say boo. We don't want to, you know, it's bad. We don't want to see it. We don't want to see it.
It's bad. Bad juju, and you don't want that when, especially playing fantasy football. We don't have Cam McLaughlin this week. He's on some sort of AFL junket, watching football in Ballarat with his brothers down there. But we do have the Statesman. Welcome to you, Bell. It must have been pretty cold in Tassie this weekend.
It certainly was, but there's no dramas when you've got a wood heater, mate. It's been nice and cozy and warm in front of the television this weekend, that's for sure. And couple of glasses of Pinot on Saturday night was quite enjoyable as well. Hashtag on brand, a bit of a struggle weekend, with 0-2 in the listener league results, but a little nervy hashtag off brand as I'm currently sitting in third position in AFL fantasy. So it's going to be a four very tense weeks ahead in the coming weeks, but it's been great fun and loving fantasy footy on a weekly basis, which is great.
Yeah, it's a shame we've only got four more weeks of fantasy football left to go. It's been a quick year this year.
It certainly has.
We are talking all things round 20, waiver wire pickups, top five things we noticed, a couple of buy, sell and holds from Steve. We've got the Statesman skippers. There won't be an injury report, but we will have the continuation of our Keeper League stock take as well. And if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter. where we are at the Draft Doctors, at Statesman 33, at ST Porter 15, and at the Potato Bake as well. Search the Draft Doctors on Facebook, and you can see the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. But, Steve, why don't you kick us off with the things you noticed from round 19?
Yeah, look, and it's with a heavy heart we bring up the Shazgoat news, but as we are in the fantasy prognostication trade, we will say, look, he's been fantastic. And, look, if Tom Langdon is available in your league, he's reasonably well-owned. But, look, Jono, in our home league, he's on the pine. So he's there to grab. I'd probably be looking to grab him if I was desperate for a defender. It's going to be interesting to see what they do, whether they bring in a forward and maybe slip Majacek to defence. But, like, Jamie Elliott got injured today, so who knows what they're going to do, whether they bring in a Jack Madgan. But there should be... Collingwood's defence has been reasonably good, so there should be points coming out of it. We know Tom Langdon scored reasonably well before, so he might be a nice little add. And also, you know, Jeremy Howe went down with a concussion. Will he come up? Will he not? I don't know. Jono, you're a Howe owner. You might have been paying close attention to it to me.
Yeah, look, it was not like the Swallow concussion where he got straight back up. He was down for a little bit, and he was knocked 6 ways to Sunday, so could be potentially a one-week miss there for Jeremy Howe. And good.
It's just one of those, like, we often see they take a week, and they're usually better for it when they do, so maybe if you're a Howe owner. But if you can find Langdon, I think he's a pretty savvy ad. GWS have been really dominating contested possessions lately, and St Kilda actually beat them in contested possessions and clearances. This game was actually closer than the scoreboard suggests. And one thing that St Kilda did that not a lot of teams have done is they tagged Callan Ward. And when North Melbourne beat GWS earlier in the year, they tagged Callan Ward, and it doesn't happen too often, but he really gets affected by it. Maybe it's not used to being dealing with that situation, but it's going to be interesting to see if other teams employ that going forward. I know GWS still have Sydney on the dock, so it might just be one of those things, because Callan Ward had been in absolutely red-hot form over the last sort of 5-6 weeks. So very interesting situation there, and they also get Jeremy Cameron back next week against Carlton. Eesh. Probably bad times for the Blues. And speaking of the Blues, really good performance there, I thought. But maybe it was a bit of a letdown spot for the Gold Coast coming off the big emotional win in Sydney. It was probably a good time to catch them, if you want, for Carlton. A guy I was really interested in the preseason was Caleb Marchbank, and he's strung together 4 games. You know, he's had a very injury interrupted season, pardon me. But he's strung a few games together. He's actually scored pretty well the last couple of games. And we know GWS are vulnerable to giving up points to defenders, so he might be someone you look to pick up this week. We might talk about him in the waiver section.
Yeah, and probably get a bump as well with Wiedering going off that leg injury.
Yeah,
well,
reading between the lines, sounds like he's escaped serious injury, but maybe he misses a week, maybe 2 weeks. They're obviously not going to risk Jacob Wiedering at this point of the season, are they? If there's any sort of chance. No. But also, Darcy Lang turned up. Had a really nice wing roll. He'd go behind the ball, he'd go forward. Was taking some centre bounces. So, look... Look, we know he's a talented player, but it's probably hard to be scoring well against GWS when they're probably going to be losing the contested battle pretty easily next week, you'd think. But maybe if there's better matchups after that, you might look to use Darcy Lang. North Melbourne. Whilst Missy Higgins was getting the Mark Hutchings experience, Paul Hearn was quietly blowing up to the tune of 118 Dream Team and 124 Supercoach points, 37 touches, 22 contested possessions, and 12 clearances, if you don't mind, in his 8th game. It's his 8th game.
Jesus.
And just...
Look what happens when he gets a preseason under his belt.
Let's remember, this guy was traded for the very nice pick 69. So
Bargain. Absolute GWS bargain.
GWS Lover 69. That's all I can say about that. That was one of my better jokes. No one didn't get enough likes on Twitter for that. That was... Come on, Twitter. Lift your game. But if you're in a keeper league, Paul Ahern looms as a great player to hold over that period. Hashtag might be in the Frankston old boys. And Port Adelaide. I do not know how you comfortably start Paddy Ryder going forward. Like, 58% game time. We know he's got the Achilles situation going forward.
And the hip flexor. Well,
it's just a bevy of injuries for old man Ryder. It was a gravy matchup. So I don't even know why they would needed to roll him out there. But I don't know what you do as a Ryder owner. Like, I'd look for better options. Like, if I could find a Sean Darcy, I'd be using Sean Darcy. It's a really uncomfortable situation.
Would he have that? He's got that name brand that he'd just dangle it out there and see what you can get. But what
who's trading in round 20? Honestly. Like,
No, I'm talking about if you're a keeper or for next year or something like that.
Oh,
like,
if I was a keeper owner, I'd be trying to sell him. He's pretty old. But, Yeah, that's interesting. And also, I just wanted to say, Jared, is it Leanit? Leanit? I don't know. But yeah, he looked really good, man. He scored well last week as well. He scored pretty well today. He looks composed. He looked like he read the ball well. So, he could be a player. I'm not sure I'd be rolling him out there at this point of the year. I might want a bit more of a sample size than two games. But, yeah, that's what I got this week.
Yeah, no, looks pretty solid, that Leanit. What have you got for a statement?
Well, firstly, the Swans look cooked and desperate need for a week or two off. My expectations after that loss to the Swans is that we would have a very fiery response against the Bombers, but they were lucky, to be honest, to be within 10 goals against Essendon on Friday night. Formerly, the Swans had three of the top 12 midfielders. Now they don't have a single player that's got an average over a ton. So how the mighty have fallen at the Sydney Swans at the moment. It'll be interesting to see if they reboot. And what I'm hoping for is maybe a few more of those up-and-coming players get a bit more midfield time, like your Heaneys and co. Second up, the owners of Devon Smith would have had sweaty palms on Friday night heading into Saturday with the trip on Lukey Parker from Friday night's match. He's escaped with a fine, so he's lucky he's going to be sitting there as the number one forward for many teams heading into finals this week. Looks like the two-ruck system is finally having an effect on Steph Martin. Only one ton in his last six games. His average in the second half of the year is 20 points below his first half average. So no longer in the top three rucks. On form, just in the last three, he's actually just starting to sit outside the top five ruckmen. So constantly having that second ruckman in the team is starting to hurt Steph. Only 77 on the weekend against Geelong. You would have thought that was a great opportunity for a big score for a ruckman. We have talked about this one before, but with Luke Shuey out, the former yo-yo showed all his tricks in his team's loss in the midfield, and he will definitely be a midfield-only player next year. And the interesting part of that is, where does that actually place him? So looking at the current scoring, I'd suggest it makes him probably an M2. But if he continues to be the Mr. Fix-It and go down to defence to, say, get on a Dustin Martin or a Paddy Dangerfield, he might actually be overvalued in an M2 and might be actually more suited to an M3 role. So an interesting one for Elliot Yeo, but no doubt, if he stays in the midfield, he is really a quite high scorer, and we could actually see him be one of the elite players in the competition. And last but not least, seems the win against the Swans was very unlikely to be repeated. So I think we should load up on the players against the Swans for the last four rounds, especially on your loophole options when you can, because they're just going to score big time against the Suns. You only have to look at Paddy Cripps, 150-odd, and then also Mark Murphy in the 130s this week. They just cleaned up and just got a ton of the footy.
Yeah, thank you very much for that, Statesman. What I've got here, Tommy Hawkins, he's having an absolute banger of a month. He's kicked 20 goals in the last 4 weeks. I know he's had a couple of cushy matchups. Mind you, against the Demons, it was a bit tough down back there, but they've got a couple of tough games coming up this week. Well, sorry, they've got Richmond this Friday night. I don't know who the next game is, but then they've got Freo and Gold Coast at GMHBA Stadium, so he could be on track to kick another 15 goals in the last 2 weeks.
Pretty sure we had him ranked in the top 20 forwards heading into the season. Not that our rankings were amazing by any stretch, but we're pretty keen about the big fella, weren't we?
Yeah, it's interesting because I would have thought Menzel would have had a bit more of an impact, but it seems to be everyone's getting the way out of Hawkins' way and just seems to be getting on the end of everything. So doing really well there.
Top 20 for Supercoach. Forwards. Top 20 for in Supercoach. Not interesting.
That's fair enough. He is more that Supercoach player. Lukey Bruce, for a bloke who's 184 centimetres, he's kicked 45 goals for the year and is leading the Hawthorne goal-kicking tally there by a clear margin too. The next best was Jared Ruffhead at 26 goals for the year, so doubled his tally there. So Lukey Bruce, if I know, Steve, you picked him off the waiver wire a few weeks ago because of the cushy matchups, but he's having a great end to the season. The Saints, Jack Billings, he's going to be a value pick in your draft for next year. We all thought he would have been at that top three forward this year. Hasn't hit that lofty heights. I don't know if it's Alan Richardson just doesn't like him, playing him deep forward out in the half forward line. But if he gets the heave-ho, hopefully he gets back into that midfield and can go back to what he did in 2017. And on the Saints, they need a quality ball user going inside 50. Andrew Gaff would be pretty handy, you would think, but I don't think the Saints are going to get him anytime soon. And Jackson Trengove, we found out that he competed pretty well against Paddy Ryder today, and he's actually a better option as a ruckman than Tom Boyd, and probably will be mentioned in the waiver wire pickups because he's got a decent matchup against Tom Hickey this week against the Saints. And speaking of waiver wire pickups, when we do talk about them, we use Ultimate Footy's 75% ownership rule, just to give you guys a bit of a chance to pick them off in the pool there. And my number one waiver, Steve, you mentioned him earlier, that is Paul O'Hearn, still in 67% of leagues. They've got some pretty good matchups coming up in the finals. I know they've got the Doggies in a couple of weeks' time, so look to get Paul O'Hearn. Probably going to lose the forward status, but not having played a lot of games, he might actually keep it for another year, which would be very handy indeed and would be a great pick for next year. I mentioned Jackson Trengove. He's in 33% of leagues. He's a defender forward in Ultimate Footy and listed as a forward only in Supercoach. So up against Tom Hickey, hopefully Luke Beveridge plays him again in the ruck again. Had 28 hit-outs, kicked a couple of goals and was great around the grounds. Brodie Smith, with Paul Seedsman going down, Brodie Smith in 66% of leagues, absolutely destroyed the Sandfall on the weekend, had 34-odd possessions, running around, doing whatever the hell he likes, so maybe Adelaide roll the dice, bring him in, give him some fresh legs in the showdown this week against Port Adelaide. And another Adelaide player, Wayne Miller, 62% of teams, he's a mid-forward. He's been killing it the last 3 weeks with scores of 81, 80, and 112 in AFL Fantasy and 92, 83, and 112 in Supercoach. So Wayne Miller are doing some really good stuff, and he was untouchable on Saturday night against the Demons. You got couple of good matchups. You've got Mark Blixarves and Lockie Henderson up against the Tigers this week. They're both 23% owned for Henderson and 52% with Blixarves. Henderson seemed to go a lot better once Tom Stewart went down, so we don't know how long Stewart's going to be out, so you'd think Henderson would get a bump there. And my last one, I've been pushing his barrow for a couple of weeks now, that's Alirelia, 59% of teams, with Sydney's midfield cooked. That ball's going to be coming into that defence a hell of a lot, and he's quite good at those intercept marks. I think he had 5 at half-time or something like that on the weekend, so they're my waiver wire pickups for this week. What have you got, Steve?
Yeah, I'm with you on Miller. He's at the top of my list. I've also got Ryan Clark, defender for North Melbourne, 68% ownership. Last 4 games, 93 Dream Team, 29 Dream Team, 114 and 105. So that's 3 out of 4 ain't bad. Something like that, Meatloaf said, I'm pretty sure. St Kilda player, Jono, I'm surprised we haven't given more love to. He's been certainly rolling through the guts a lot more. Forward, Jade Gresham. 72% ownership, surprisingly. He's banged out tons in the last couple of matches and very dangerous, I would have thought.
The new Jack Billings of the St Kilda team. He's kicking goals. He's playing that Jack Billings role that we saw from last year.
Yeah, and to be honest, it's probably one of the reasons I'd be a little bit sketchy about Jack Billings going forward. Like, if they pick up a quality midfielder, like Akers, Stephen, Ross, these sort of guys rolling through the midfield, and like they, you know, Caulfield and who's the other, Hunter Clark, they sort of project as midfield. Well, I know Caulfield projects as a halfback, but, you know, like, is Billings going to be a midfielder? Like, it doesn't seem like it to me.
No, especially with his height size. He's like that Hrovat size, that high half forward wingman, which he's playing right now, and not really good for fantasy scoring. Hey, but it all could change with Gillon McLachlan and bringing all these bloody new rules in, so we don't
know. That went down well, didn't it? But yeah, look, I think Jay Gresham might be a good pickup for the end of the year, if he's still available in your league. Melbourne. I would pick up Melbourne against Gold Coast this week.
Well, yeah.
Looms is it's a really interesting week for matchups in terms of picking out the right spots, but obviously Melbourne against Gold Coast, Looms is a pretty gravy matchup for your, especially for your mids and forwards. Again, I mentioned him in the rundown. Caleb Marchbank playing against GWS this week as well, which is a pretty good matchup for defenders. Historically on the season and over the last few years. So he's had 2 good scores. I might look him up if I'm not trying to reach for 130, but if I just wanted an 80, Caleb Marchbank might be the ticket. And like I said, again, really tough matchups this week. I think a lot of sort of teams who are in the same boat, you know, Collingwood and Sydney, and a lot of question marks about this sort of thing. But a guy you mentioned last week, Statesman, and that's Will Brody, and he looked fantastic. But geez, that he has got some really tough matchups on the dock.
Yeah, don't mind those pickups, especially with Marchbank with the Wiedering injury. What have you got for a Statesman this week?
Look, just one more to add on to the magnificent list that you guys gave, which is Riley Knight, who's listed as a forward for Adelaide, but now he's getting a midfield role on the best player from the opposition and done another great job against Clayton Oliver on the weekend. He's only 14% owned, so he's pretty much available in the majority of leagues, and playing that midfield role and doing it so well, he's going to retain it. So playing that role over the last 3 games has given him an average of 80. So quite worthwhile for those extra little points sitting in the forward line if you're struggling in that space.
Yeah, don't mind it at all. Moving on now to, even though he has passed it over to Mr. Sam Porter.
I got nothing. If you're trading this point of the year, get your head checked. What is wrong with your league? It's round 20. Sort yourself out.
No ads, nothing like that.
We might actually, you know what? I'll give an ad. Look, one thing that we do that I'm really, really proud of, probably more than anything else, besides Flame Jono, is we go year round. Yep. We don't stop. I'm really, really proud of it. We don't stop. There's a weekly pod every week. We talk fresh things. We talk keepers. We talk DPPs. We talk trade week. We give our fantasy rundown all year round, and we haven't stopped since we've been going, John. I think we had 1 week off because you were sick, and that was...
I think the first year we had a break, yeah, and then that was...
No, we had a week off because, like, we didn't have Statesman yet, and you were sick, you know, with whatever. But I'm really proud of it. And so, but one thing we do is we exist because of you guys. You know, if you're listening to the show, we exist because of you. We look at our numbers, the shows you like, the shows you don't like, what you like about the show. So if you've got any suggestions, things you want for the off season, yes, hashtag more keeper stuff. We know, but anything you want to hear, we're happy to provide. Just let us know. Hit us up on the Twitters, email us, draftdoctors@gmail.com, Facebook message us, whatever. We're happy to provide our takes on whatever you want, and anything you can think of, all the content, whatever. So please, please do that.
And when we do provide that content, you can check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. And if you want to give us a bit of advice on what we should do for a pod, you can leave us a review. Nothing this week, thank God. my mental walls are just breaking down. I can't handle losing to Steve 2 weeks in a row and just people bashing me on social media behind the faceless walls. But it's all good. We're moving on now to the Statesman Skippers, where he's got the Captain Risky and just that safe pick for your matchup this week. What have you got there, please, Statesman?
So obviously the loophole, as we always cover, and then we give a Captain Risky for the show, and the article will be out and available on Friday after we know the selection. As Richmond allow the opposition plenty of possessions, most of the best loophole options will be wearing the hoops this weekend. So although there may be plenty of mids to select from, there might be there won't be any real forward options because Richmond are very hard to score against. So we're probably looking at your Joel Selwood, Gary Ablett, Mitch Duncan. Notice I missed out on the Gary Ayres plurals there, and maybe Dangerfield, but that actually depends on his role, because if he gets stuck deep down forward, obviously the defence of the majority of the teams are trying to work out Paddy and sometimes double team him as well, so he has less of an impact. So be interesting to see what they do leading up to finals. I think it's a bit of an old hat now. I think he's one of their best players in the midfield, and that's where he should spend the majority of the time, and then pinch hit up forward, especially when you've got Tom Hawkins performing so well. So that's our loophole options. Moving on to Captain Risky, and I will say Toddy Goldstein was a magnificent Captain Risky this week, scored very well for North Melbourne. And of course, we know that Gold Coast give up massive scores. Paddy Cripps, Mark Murphy on the weekend were just fantastic. So the Melbourne mids will all be lining up. The real roughie, who I'm going to call out as my Captain Risky, is the great man himself, Alex Neil Bullen, who is a little bit unassuming, but has a massive ceiling. And with the right role, as he showed this weekend, he was actually the top scorer for the Demons, and he can get on a roll here. So if he gets the right role, and let's face it, he's going to be both in the midfield and up forward, and that's a great matchup when you're playing against the Swans. So I reckon there'll be quite a few massive scores, but a great Captain Risky is Mr. ANB this weekend.
Like putting the balls on the line there. Love it. Love it. I was actually tempted to roll Jack Redden this week, but it didn't matter against you, Steve. I could have rolled out David Swallow and I still would have got my ass handed to me.
Well, what's interesting, Jono, is noticing that, because the scores have come up in our home league, because we play on Supercoach, where they just invent the scores anyway, is that the three Crockett's in our league, bad times. Two of them are going home. Yeah. Well, you're lucky enough to have the double chance.
No. But I'm playing against a team that I can never beat. It's the surname of the Molino, which I've never beaten any which way. So straight sets for Jono. See you later.
Well, we're looking forward to rehashing that straight sets meme for about the fourth year in a row.
Yes, it is. It's only a joke. But there is no injury report with Cam McLaughlin on his junket, but we are going to continue on with our fantasy keeper stock take. I think we left it off with Fremantle last week, so should be kicking it off with Geelong this week, I believe.
That's correct. So we've got three on the cards here. One's a buy and two are a sell. And I don't think you guys will be surprised who my two sells are. First one is Mr. Gary Ablett. He has still got fantastic value, still scoring quite well. So he's actually going to be tempting for a lot of people if they think that they're close to pulling off a premiership. He might be quite worthwhile in their team. I actually brought him in this year to sell him. So I got a 3-for-1 deal effectively. So Ablett and Pendlebury were the two major ones coming in with that deal. So it was a case of I knew I was going to sell both because they both hold great value. So Gary Ablett, definitely a sell. The other one I see is actually Joel Selwood, because right now he is constantly the number one tag. He's going to be 31 next year. His body's is one of those players that has been battling and using his body well all the way through, and it's only going to be a matter of time until injuries start taking their toll or the battering starts taking its toll on Joel Selwood. So averaging 104 right now, he's at the peak of his career. He's worth a fair bit, and will someone in line with the premiership will probably want to spend. Who I would buy is Mr. Partiff. I think going to be something special. The good thing, and the reason why I say he's a buy, I know people will probably see it already, but he's actually still producing quite a lot of 50s and 60 scores. And owners who are roundabouts the mark or scraping to try and get into finals actually get sick of that run.
Oh, okay. I thought you had more to add there, but I agree. I think once you lose Selwood, Ablett out of that midfield, you're going to see the blokes of Yapar Fitz and Menegola roll through as inside mids. I don't think Tim Kelly's going to be sticking around a hell of a lot. I think he'll be traded back to Perth at some stage. So frees up that spot for him in that midfield. Good call. I like it.
So the next one is the Gold Coast. So my seller for the Gold Coast is a big question mark. Because I can't pick a player here where I reckon is overvalued right now. No. Any arguments for
that? There's nothing. I had a look at that list and there's nothing I'm interested in.
I would buy, but I wouldn't sell anyone off because I don't think you get the value which you should. The buying for me is firstly Aaron Hall. I think he's going to be playing at a Melbourne club on the halfback flank next year and be a 85 to a 90 scorer. So he's going to be a D2 or D3 next year and quite worthwhile, and you'll get him for nothing. Tommy Lynch,
if he gets that defensive status, though.
Oh, that's exactly right, but I think that's where he'll be sold as, is the halfback line breaker. So yeah, that'll be where his shot's at. Braden Fruarini, I reckon he's had a shocking year through non-selection more than anything else. Wasn't a great game on the weekend, but neither were the conditions. But he is the one fantasy gun sitting in that list right now. So only played 4 or 5 games this year, hasn't scored massive. I think his average is in the low 80s as a midfielder. I think you're going to get him and Aaron Hall quite cheaply. And the next one, which is a bit of a question mark for me, but Tom Lynch as a forward, obviously not knowing which club he's going to be playing at next year, but I reckon right now he is undervalued. Just he's been too injured, too out of play, and not in enough form.
Well, that's going to be league dependent. Like, it's all in the eye of the beholder, right, isn't it? Like, if someone has Tom Lynch, they might want something. I'd be pretty happy to sell Tom Lynch, to be honest. Like, if he goes to a good club, I mean, we've never seen a key forward average over 100. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's he going to do sort of thing? So that's an interesting one. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So Tom Lynch is a prickly one.
Yeah. GWS, Heath Shaw is the sell, but he's a sell immediately because it's going downhill quickly. But he's in good form right now. If you're in a league that can still trade and you're not in the finals, find someone that needs a bit of depth in their midfield and you might get something for Heath Shaw. And their buys. I actually have four here, but I'm not convinced on one of them. And the one I'm not convinced is Tim Taranto, because I think his value, he's going to be a forward for probably one more year, but I think his value might be quite high. So if you want to buy Tim Taranto right now, I think someone will be wanting the world for him. And that's where the issue comes to become a buy. So the ones that I think are really good value because of injury or performance this year is Rory Lobb. I think his stocks are way down, but I think his value is going to shoot back up. He will be their number one ruckman. Tom Scully, he's played one game so far this year. He'll be a magnificent M4 for someone. And has got a fair bit of footy left in him, so I think you'll be able to get him pretty cheap. And last but not least, it's off everyone's radar at the moment, and I've seen him thrown around in several leagues, is Toby Green.
Weesh. That's pretty spicy take. I'd be pissing Rory Lobb off, man. I don't think he's going to lose the forward status. He's going to lose the value. He's not going to be a gun ruckman. I'd piss him off. I don't want a bar of it. Tim Taranto is interesting. They're very comfortable by the looks of things to have Tim Taranto and Hopper and these guys playing on the middle already. I think, yes, he might command a lot, but he's probably worth it going forward. The guy I'd buy is the guy who's rumored to be on the move, and that's Dylan Sheil, because he might actually get game time at another club. So
yes.
I think Dylan Sheil is probably the guy I'd be chasing if I was chasing a GWS giant. At a buy price, obviously.
Absolutely. The next one I actually found reasonably hard, being Hawthorn. So I've gone the buy for Ryan Burton. I think most leagues are going to drop him off onto the waiver wire before the redraft. So I think if you're in a league that runs pretty deep, you certainly might be one to hold on to. Long term, he's going to be a very good player, whether that's as early as next year or it's a couple of seasons before he gets the right opportunities, because he'll end up being a winger slant midfielder, not a defender.
Yeah, just on the Hawks, with Luke Bruce form, if you're an owner of him, do you reckon you could flip him just on his value right now and get something back a hell of a lot better?
He's myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
He could hoodwink
someone, because we know what he's done in the past, and give you absolute donuts.
Yep, he's been a 70 average right throughout his career. He's right now into the mid and high 80s. His value's never going to be any higher. This is the opportunity to sell him and get something back.
Yeah, totally agree.
So moving on to Melbourne.
Whoa.
Oh, sorry.
Hey. I think there's a really obvious buy.
Oh, what's your buy?
Sean Burgoyne. He's just rolled back into the rolled back into the team today. Just picked up. Just
for the pension.
93-117. You can't find that. Seven clearances. Hey, seven more than that. Five.
I thought your stand-up career was over.
Well, that's probably why it is over.
Moving on to Melbourne. Now, people may say that this is a bit obvious and he's not at value, but I actually reckon he is, because he has not delivered what everyone was promising he was capable of delivering, and that's Petrarca. I actually think he is actually a buy, because I reckon those owners will be sick to death waiting for something to happen and it hasn't happened.
He's been pretty hot and cold the last, I'll say, 3 or 4 weeks, but just haven't seen their consistency. Same with Jesse Hogan. He's just gone right at the ball, so he could be an option as well.
I think he made Jesse Hogan maybe just a little bit injured. But with Petrarca, it's going to be the balance of how good a footballer is he versus how good of a fantasy footballer he is. But right now, I think owners that have had him from the start will be sitting there losing their patience a bit, and that's when it's time to buy. And my sell is Tom McDonald.
Just because he's going to be forward only, or...?
I just think right now he's doing a Luke Bruce.
Okay. Well, he's been pretty handy as a defender in the past, so... I see him keeping up because he's playing great footy. I think he's going to continue on with it. Mind you, I am a Tom McDonald owner, so I'm pretty biased. But the one I want to talk about is Gus Brayshaw. Is he in that similar vein to Elliot Yeo? He's going to lose defender status, you would think, next year. And I know he's averaging in the 105s, 106s, but what do you reckon you could get for him, or would you hold him?
Look, if you've got him, you hold him. He's, as long as you're comfortable that the concussion issues are gone, that man's a Jet. And they've always known he was a Jet. It was just getting the consistency of game time. You don't throw out your Jets. And everyone knows he's massive scores this year. He's scored 160s. He's done plenty in the 130s. The man's a scoring machine. So I don't see him as value or overinflated.
Fair enough.
And last but not least, North Melbourne. Now, I hope I'm not getting sucked into late season form again, but my buy, because he was a bit disappointing at the beginning of the year, but he's starting to patch it a bit together now, is Ryan Clark for North Melbourne. Any thoughts?
You can pick him up for free, so why not?
I actually more had thought thinking about Todd Goldstein.
Bruce is the buy. Bruce.
Oh, no, yeah. Bruce is the buy, but I was looking at Goldie to sell because his form has just been unreal the last 4 or 5 weeks. And what is he? He's 30s now, so, and Bruce is just waiting in the wings. So
good way to get rid of him. So thanks for jumping in twice, Jono, and announcing my sell before I announce myself. But yes, you're right. And I did have Bruce as my buy. But I actually want to see whether he's going to be there first. So it's a bit of a wait and see to see what happens in the ruck stocks. Todd Goldstein will be 31 next year, so it'll be interesting whether they continue to back him in. But his form in the last 5 weeks has just been sensational. He's the number one in form ruckman for the past 5 rounds.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. You had Petrarca down as a... Did you have him as a sell?
No, as a buy.
Oh, as a buy. Right. Yeah, yeah. And much like that, I'd have a Hearn as a buy as well. Like,
yeah.
The guys who can win their own pill. Like Jai Simpkin, to me, he's really on my radar as a keeper player. I know you don't have
impressive.
To buy him or anything. We were talking about him in the first month of the year. So, like, it's an interesting club. The guy, obviously you got to sell Higgins, don't you? If you can.
Yes. Absolutely. But again, I think he's a better footballer than he is fantasy. If you actually look at his data, I think he's still averaging in the 80s and might be low 90s in AFL fantasy, but it's not that high.
Well, as a Higgins owner, I can certainly tell you those stats right now. Because he has been a captain.
94 at the moment, 94 last year. So.
Okay.
106 Supercoach.
Yeah. I was going to say he's more your Supercoach.
Still.
What is he now? 28, 29 this year?
Well, so. He's got baby swag going for him, but he is 30 now.
30. Well, there you go. Well, I did see him at the airport on Saturday afternoon heading to his flight.
Good looking man.
He is. Because I got distracted. I was looking at Sean Higgins and I didn't see Ben Cunnington crossing the walkway and almost hit him with my car, but I was more worried about the car because if I hit Ben Cunnington, my car's just a throw-off.
Yeah, no, true that. And I got to be honest, if I saw Sean Higgins, I think I'd plow down at least 60 people at the airport. I'd be that distracted. Like, he'd have an aura. Would he have that Rick James aura going on around him?
Rick Jones.
He did have the aura, and it was just like space. He had time and space around him. There was no one near him. Just gliding through to the airport. Like, it was unreal.
Like Air Supply started playing or something whilst you were looking at him. Like, there's an old band reference for you, Statesman. You'd be like,
yes. Not a good band, though. That's the problem.
All Out of Love, that's the only song I know.
I think we should wrap this up. Speaking of bands, I wanted to bring this up. As a dad, to all the dads out there, we know we've got a lot of dads listening.
Not a dad joke, is it?
No, it's not a dad joke. But, because we've started letting Baby Fizz watch television lately. We've, me and Mrs. Well,
late or lately? Lately.
No, because Mrs. Fizz is pretty hard on the, she was never going to watch TV. She's over two now, so we let her have, 10, 15 minutes every now and again, because, we don't want to be a zombie. But the greatest cover band in the world, the Wiggles, we've started to watch some Wiggles, and I'm like, would it be bad if I bought, an Emma Wiggle costume for Mrs. Fizz? Like, would that be...
What? I don't want to know what you guys do in the bedroom role-playing.
Well, people bring out costumes all the
time. Wake up Jeff and...
Well, no, Jeff's out. It's all Lockie. Wake up Lockie.
That was a reference to...
You're living in the past, John. You're living in the past. It's not my penis name.
Kids, I don't know.
Lockie is not my penis. No, but I'm just saying. Look, Emma Wiggle. She's got the pigtails going on. You know? But she's kind of that hot where it's you wouldn't go brag to your mates and go, you see Emma Wiggle do toot toot chugga chugga, big red car. But you're sitting there watching that crap with your idiot child going, that's better than my missus.
I'd hit that.
That's different. Been with my missus for years. Look at those red pigtail things.
Wait till you get pressured to go to the live show where you're going to fork out about $80 to $120.
They've been to the live show.
Just for a... There you go.
I didn't get to go to the live show. No, it wasn't that much. It was just a dandy dong. Like, they were lucky they didn't get drilled like that.
No, I'm talking about the Rod Laver Arena. Spectacular.
No, they do local. They did Frankston. We would have gone to that, except apparently you just get beaten up walking to the kebab shop, as the Vic police tweeted today. Yeah, Frankston, represent.
Saw that on the news. Safer than Cranbourne West.
Yeah.
Hey, but you were talking about bands, but movies. If you want to watch a movie, check out A Quiet Place. Really good thriller, drama / horror. Really good. John Krasinski, who played Jim from The Office. He's the lead actor and director, so really good movie. Check it out. But that wraps up the show for this week. Oh, don't watch Super Troopers 2.
Oh, really?
I did not laugh the whole hour and a half.
What?
Like, it was good, but there was no laughs. It was fine.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh,
God damn it.
Just disappointing. Yeah. I built myself up for it, but no good. War for the Planet of the Apes, though. Check that out. All right, that wraps it up for this week. Check us out on social media. We are at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33, at STPorter15, and at The Potato Bake. Search The Draft Doctors on Facebook and check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. The finals are here and upon us. Good luck in your matchups. Unless you're Steve Fizz, who's got the week off in the home league, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.